50 things that made the modern economy.
It was a marriage of brilliant scientific minds. Clara Immerwahr had just become the first woman in Germany to receive a doctorate in chemistry. That took perseverance. Women couldn't study at the University of Breslau, so she asked each lecturer, individually, for permission to observe their lessons as a guest. Then she pestered to be allowed to sit the exam. The dean, awarding her doctorate, said,
"Science welcomes each person, irrespective of gender."
He then undermined this noble sentiment by observing that a woman's duty was family, and he hoped this wasn't the dawn of a new era. Clara saw no reason why getting married should interfere with her career. She was disappointed. Her husband turned out to be more interested in a dinner party hostess than a professional equal. She gave some lectures but soon became discouraged when she learned that everyone assumed her husband had written them for her. Reluctantly, resentfully, she let her professional ambitions slide. We'll never know what Clara Immerwahr might have achieved had attitudes to gender been different in early 20th century Germany. But we can guess what she wouldn't have done. She would not, as her husband did, have pioneered chemical weapons. To help Germany win the First World War, he enthusiastically advocated gassing Allied troops with chlorine. She accused him of barbarity. He accused her of treason. After the first devastatingly effective use of chlorine gas at Ypres in 1915, he was made an army captain. She took his gun and killed herself. Clara and Fritz Haber had been married for 14 years. 8 years into that time, Haber made a breakthrough that some now consider to be the most significant invention of the 20th century. Without it, close to half the world's population wouldn't be alive today. Haber's process uses nitrogen from the air to make ammonia, which can then be used to make fertilizers. Plants need nitrogen. It's one of their five basic requirements, along with potassium, phosphorus, water, and sunlight. In a state of nature, plants grow, they die, the nitrogen they contain returns to the soil, and new plants use it to grow. But that cycle is disrupted by agriculture. We harvest the plants, and we eat them. From the earliest days of agriculture, farmers discovered various ways to prevent yields from declining over time, as it happened by restoring nitrogen to their fields. Manure has nitrogen. So does compost. The roots of legumes host bacteria that replenish the soil's nitrogen. That's why it helps to include peas or beans in crop rotation. But these techniques struggle to fully satisfy a plant's appetite for nitrogen. Add more, and the plant grows better. It was only in the 19th century that chemists discovered this, and the irony that 78% of the air is nitrogen, but not in a form plants can use. In the air, nitrogen consists of two atoms locked tightly together. Plants need those atoms fixed or compounded with some other element. Ammonium oxalate, for example, as found in guano, also known as bird poo, or potassium nitrate, also known as saltpeter, and a main ingredient of gunpowder. Reserves of both guano and saltpeter were found in South America, mined, shipped around the world, and dug into soil. But by the century's end, experts were fretting about what would happen when these reserves ran out. If only it were possible to convert nitrogen from the air into a form plants could use. That's exactly what Fritz Haber worked out how to do, driven in part by the promise of a lucrative contract from the chemical company BASF. That company's engineer, Carl Bosch, then managed to replicate Haber's process on an industrial scale. Both men later won Nobel Prizes, controversially in Haber's case, as by then many considered him a war criminal. The Haber-Bosch process is perhaps the most significant example of what economists call technological substitution, when we seem to have reached some basic physical limit, then find a workaround. For most of human history, if you wanted more food to support more people, then you needed more land. But the thing about land is, as Mark Twain once joked, they're not making it anymore. But the Haber-Bosch process provided a substitute. Instead of more land, make nitrogen fertilizer. It was like alchemy.
Brot aus Luft.
As Germans put it, bread from air. And quite a lot of fossil fuels. First of all, you need natural gas as a source of hydrogen, the element to which nitrogen binds to form ammonia. Then you need energy to generate extreme heat and pressure. Haber discovered that was necessary with a catalyst to break the bonds between air's nitrogen atoms and persuade them to bond with hydrogen instead. Imagine the heat of a wood-fired pizza oven with the pressure you'd experience 2 kilometres under the sea. To create those conditions on a scale sufficient to produce 160 million tonnes of ammonia a year, the majority of which is used for fertiliser, the Haber-Bosch process today consumes more than 1% of all the world's energy. That's a lot of carbon emissions, and it's far from the most serious ecological concern. Only some of the nitrogen in fertiliser makes its way via crops into human stomachs. Most of it ends up in the air or water. This is a problem for several reasons. Compounds like nitrous oxide are powerful greenhouse gases. They pollute drinking water. They create acid rain, which makes soils more acidic, which puts ecosystems out of kilter, and biodiversity under threat. In truth, scientists still don't fully understand the long-term impact on the environment of converting so much stable, inert nitrogen from the air into various other highly reactive chemical compounds. We are in the middle of a global experiment. One result of that experiment is already clear. Plenty of food for lots more people. If you look at a graph of global population, you'll see it shoot upwards just as Haber-Bosch fertilisers start being widely applied. Again, Haber-Bosch wasn't the only reason for the spike in food yields. New varieties of crops like wheat and rice also played their part. Still, suppose we farmed with the best techniques available in Fritz Haber's time. The Earth would support about 4 billion people. Its current population is around 7.5 billion, and still heading upwards. Back in 1909, as Haber triumphantly demonstrated his ammonia process, Clara wondered whether the fruits of her husband's genius had been worth the sacrifice of her own.
"What Fritz has achieved in these 8 years,"
she wrote plaintively to a friend,
"I have lost."
For Haber himself, the consequences of his work were not what he expected. As a young man, he had converted from Judaism to Christianity. He ached to be accepted as a German patriot. Beyond his work on weaponizing chlorine, the Haber-Bosch process also helped Germany in the First World War. Ammonia can make explosives as well as fertilizer. Not just bread from air, but bombs. When the Nazis took power in the 1930s, however, none of these contributions outweighed his Jewish roots. Stripped of his job and kicked out of the country, Haber died in a Swiss hotel, a broken man.
We relied on The Alchemy of Air by Thomas Hager to help us write this episode. For a full list of our sources, please see bbcworldservice.com/50things.